This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Are you enjoying this press after the movie has come out?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was a bit late getting onto the movie itself, and a bit late getting involved in the press too, because I've been away on another job. So, but it's nice to finally, get involved.
Well, what's it like for you? Obviously, you sign on to a project, you hope for the best, and all of a sudden, a lot of people are talking about your movie and The Social Network as like the two best films of the year.
Well, it's fantastic. It's not unlike The Hurt Locker. It's slightly embarrassing to sort of try and receive any of the accolade, because really I had quite small roles in both. But certainly happy to be part of them, definitely. And speaking of Social Network, what a film that is! What a performance that was! Jesus.
This is that magical time of the year where we all get to see great movies.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I think King's Speech is great as well. I really am so impressed with Tom as a director and what Colin and Jeffrey and Helena and everyone have done, but Colin particularly, it's really such a special performance, and I think that, on the back of what he did in A Single Man, for those who sort of see Colin as Mr. Darcy from Bridget Jones, will be most impressed with him as a performer. He's just a delightful guy, and really, so great to have worked with. So I feel, honoured to have been his on-screen brother.
I'm definitely curious about
his older brother, but that's all right.
I'm curious when you obviously you sign on, you hear what it's about. When you first got on set, were you involved with a lot of rehearsals, or were you not?
I was there for the first read-through, and then, we worked our way through the script and got to rehearse and tidy up any bits and pieces that we didn't necessarily understand or didn't think necessarily worked as well or whatever. There was all sorts of various bits and pieces that we were sort of involved in. And for me it was great because, as I say, I sort of came into it a little late. So any of that work for me is always valuable, to rehearse with the other actors. I'm a bit slow off the mark, so it always takes me a while to really understand exactly what it is we're making, particularly in the style or the tone of the film. And so just to spend a bit of time with Colin and Tom and get to sort of see how he was portraying the character, as well as having the time then to sort of read and look at the various bits of footage and listen to the various recordings that were made available to us, was all really helpful,
Well, I was just curious, during that rehearsal process, the movie came out so tremendously. Could you sort of tell in that rehearsal, I think this is going to be something special?
Well, no more than you... not in the same way that you can now retrospectively, You work on things and you have such faith in them while you're making them that everything feels special in a way. Some feel more special than others, and this definitely felt more special than other things I've worked on. Particularly, the relationship between Jeffrey and Colin seemed so natural, and I just thought, wow, this is great chemistry. Really, it's going to be fantastic on screen. So yes, to a certain degree, but you also can't really tell. You can have a great time in a film, and the chemistry can seem great, but then you look at the finished film, and it just doesn't quite gel. Something doesn't quite work, but you never really know what the director's got in his mind as far as the thing visually and art direction-wise, etc. And even if you do, sometimes, as I say, those things don't necessarily gel the way people intend, So they're a bit of a mystical entity, a film. And, you never quite know, really.
Well, I'm definitely curious. It seems like the last year or two, you've been working almost nonstop What, especially I'm looking over your the always accurate IMDb. What's the last 2 years been like for you as far as just jumping from project to project? And you know, well, let me start with that.
Well, look, it's been great. Particularly the last year has been really great because you know I've gotten to do some really lovely work. I mean, some lovely projects. I mean, the year before I got to do Animal Kingdom as well, which was great. But a lot of the things I've done in the last couple of years have been short, like a short time period on the job for me. You know, it's not like I've been there for the whole 3 or 4 months working, slogging it out every day. You know. So, in a way, even though I've done a lot, it also feels like I haven't done a lot, if that makes sense. You know, I've sort of popped in for supporting roles in things, and that's been really delightful, as I say. I mean, particularly, as I say, in 2010, you know, well, King's Speech spanned the end of 2009 and into 2010, so there was that. I got to work with Nicolas Cage at the beginning of the year as well. I got to work with Kate Winslet and Todd Haynes on a miniseries in New York in the middle of the year. I then went home in Sydney and to Australia. I live in Melbourne, but I did a film in Sydney, which was a beautiful little story. And funnily enough, the last 3 or 4 months, I did actually work as a leading role in something called Lockout in Serbia. So I'm sort of feeling quite still exhausted from that. So it's been a big year and a half, really. But I think if I was doing things like Lockout, where I was working sort of every day for 3 months, I wouldn't be able to do 4 or 5 jobs a year. I think, you know, you'd be mad to sort of try and do that.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you specifically about Lockout. I don't know much about the project other than it's sci-fi-ish or sci-fi. I wanted to know if you could sort of talk about, you know, who you play in it, what's it about.
Yeah, it's a kind of an action-adventure story. I mean, it's a rescue story. I mean, it's set slightly in the future. I play a sort of special operations guy who was sent on a mission to rescue the president's daughter from a prison where she's gone to visit the prison, something's gone wrong, she's been taken captive, and the prison is actually in orbit. So it's gotten to the point where there's no more room for prisons anymore on Earth, so they're now creating these space stations. Prisoners are sort of exiled in them out in space, and basically just floating around the Earth in orbit. So it's a Luc Besson-produced film. The two guys who directed it, two Irish guys, who've got wonderful sensibility when it comes to visual effects and the sort of thriller genre. And, you know, they wrote a really sort of powerful and interesting script that's actually also quite funny. So my character is quite irreverent. He really can't be bothered going out there and rescuing her. He's really, you know, he's only doing it to save his own ass because he's about to get thrown in prison for something else. He's discovered that his friend and old-time partner is also out on this prison, so he's really out there trying to save him, not her. You know, so he's got quite a sort of attitude. So quite a different role, I guess, for me as well. A bit of an action hero kind of guy, but not your typical one, you know. And it was quite an action-oriented film, so, you know, I had to be in fairly good shape and, you know, and try and match it with a lot of prisoners who felt that it would do them more good to have the president's daughter in their hands than in mine. So, you know, as I say, a bit of fighting and you know, action-oriented stuff, which was fun but exhausting, you know.
Totally. I'm actually a big fan of the Luc Besson action. I call it the Luc Besson action genre.
Well, he's got a great sensibility, obviously. It's kind of different to the American, typical American sensibility, and I think that's what appealed to me as well, as well as the fact that he and the two Irish guys wrote the script. So it's kind of got a, you know, a different sense of humour about it as well. So, you know, and their visuals, as I say, are amazing. So I'll be very curious to see this one put together. A lot of it for us was in studio, it was on green screen, you know, so we won't really see how it looks until it's all put together.
Oh, no, totally. Well, when you do a project like that that takes a lot out of you, that's 3 months or longer, is it sort of for you, do you immediately want to jump into other projects, or do you always try to sort of take a break and recharge?
I just want to jump into a swimming pool and float about for a month in the sun and just, you know, just kind of go, what the hell was that? And I think because I'd had a big year as well, I mean, I was only at home for 6 weeks of the whole year. And I've learned, you know, from the past that it's important to recharge and, you know, get time in between jobs. And if I can't get time in between jobs, then, you know, when I know I've got some time coming up at the end of a job, really try and take advantage of that and do very mundane things at home and potter in the garden and just spend time with family and make music and, you know, play with the dogs and just get back to being me. So that I'm then in, because that's necessary for one thing, but then I'm in a much better position to then start looking at work for the following year or the following amount of time, and I'm able to be objective about what I like and what I don't like. If I'm exhausted physically and particularly emotionally, I can't tell what's good and I can't tell what's bad and I'm useless, you know. So like any artistic pursuit, I suppose, you really need to step away from it. I find I really need to step away from it to then be clear about what I'm interested in next, you know.
No, totally. You're also in another project I'm really looking forward to called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Well, that, you know, that's also a bit of a sidestep for me. I mean, doing a sort of a thriller horror film is certainly not something I've really done before, but again, another great producer, Guillermo del Toro, working with a director who's made, again, like these Irish guys on Lockout, had made a very interesting short film, which I must admit I'm forgetting the name of now. What is that called?
I can maybe help you. I think it's called Troy did Latchkey's Lament.
Yeah, Latchkey's Lament, that's right, which is really fascinating. Like, it's an amazing bit of filmmaking. It's really worth having a look at. And so a very similar experience, really, where you've got a producer who is a director themselves, a great eye, looking for great young talent. They find, you know, somebody who's made a fascinating short film, and they all get together either writing a script or in the case of Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, you know, it was made as a TV movie in Canada back in the 70s, but they've reworked the idea and changed various aspects of it. And you know, under the guidance or the you know, the producerial efforts of Guillermo del Toro, or in the case of Lockout, Luc Besson, are venturing into their first major sort of film. So, you know, interesting experiences, and as I say, both of them quite different for me, really. Great to work with Katie Holmes and Young Bailey, who's the lead girl in the film. And again, you know, visual effects, working with things that aren't really there, and you look at the film later and think, wow, that looks great. I didn't realize it was going to look like that.
Well, for people who haven't actually seen the original from the 70s, could you sort of talk about your character?
Well, slightly different from the film in the 70s, but really I'm the dad who's not the great dad. You know, I'm very busy with my ambition and my what I'm sort of caught up in at the time, which is restoring a big old house, really desperately trying to get my architectural career back on track. Working on it with my now girlfriend, who Katie Holmes plays, and my wife, who lives on the west coast of Australia, of America, says, it's time for you to start looking after our daughter now, and sends our 8-year-old daughter across to me, which is just incredibly bad timing for me. And really then the story becomes, you know, the girl's experience in this house, which we discover is haunted on some sort of... not really haunted, but it is haunted, but not in the way that we think with ghosts, etc. And I think it's a sort of a... you know, it's a reflection of, you know, the lack of love and attention she's getting from her family, And Katie Holmes is the one, the girlfriend, the potential stepmother, is the one who really bonds with the girl and tries to sort of connect, and I'm just off being busy, you know, and being a terrible dad, really.
Okay, I butchered what I was about to say. When you do a project like that, well, I guess my question really is, how are you with preparing for a role across the board? Are you someone who, like, because I've heard stories about, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, and he really, you know, goes underwater for his roles, and other people are sort of a little bit more nonchalant. How are you as a performer for getting ready for projects?
Well, I'm definitely not nonchalant. Definitely, I have to leave nonchalant at home when I'm working on something. Otherwise, I just don't feel like I'm committed, and I've got to be fully committed. Having said that, I'm probably a lot more relaxed about my commitment to work than I have been in the past. And I certainly don't mean nonchalant. I just mean less anxious. And probably a bit more confident about the process, about my process, and I'm able to sort of live my life as well as make a film. My wife and my friends and people around me know that I do tend to distance myself a little bit during the making of a film, but I have to, you know, it's a natural part of the process for me, because you're indulging in the headspace of somebody else. You know, you're investing in the psychology of somebody else, and you are becoming somebody else. And so there isn't enough room for you and that somebody else. And I think that depending on the role, depending what it is you've got to do, and that, as you know, can range from, you know, from naught to ten as far as intensity or the actual amount of work you've got to do, you know, a number of ways to sort of cut the pie. So the elements are sort of completely different on every film. That will then determine naturally how much you do have to sort of distance yourself from your friends and family. It just depends on the job.
No, I totally get it. I know I'm running out of time with you, so I have two quick last questions. The first one is, have you already started thinking about what you might be doing down the road, like in 2011, or is it still too early to tell?
I've started thinking about it, and I'm starting to read things. In fact, I've read a couple of things last year that I know are floating around for this year, but I'm not quite ready yet to to seriously think about it. even though I know in the next couple of weeks I will start to think more seriously about it, and I think now that I'm here in LA it'll naturally occur, but I'm still vibrating from the last job, so I need that to sort of die down a little bit, you know.
No, totally. I actually have one other quick little thing. When people meet you and they see you at Starbucks or the supermarket, what is like the one or two films that everyone always wants to talk to you about?
Generally, it's Memento, Priscilla, or LA Confidential, or The Proposition. Depending on where you are, or depending on where I am, there'll be things out of the box that'll be kind of surprising. You know, people might talk about Ravenous, or might talk about Death Defying Acts, or, you know, First Snow, or Slipping Down Life. But generally, it's those first ones that I mentioned. Or Count of Monte Cristo, you know, people quite often mention Count of Monte Cristo. But I think Memento is the one that people really kind of go, oh man, that's like, that film really kind of twisted me inside out, man, you know. So, which is great, you know. For me, it's a fantastic film and an honour to have been part of it, so always happy to talk about it. And it's fascinating too, because people, it's interesting discovering what people's take on that film is, you know.
No, totally. I actually, there's a lot of films you just mentioned that I really love. You've had, I really enjoy your work. I have to ask you, though, you had a great partnership with Nolan on Memento. Are you sort of ever saying to him, you know, I could, if you wanted me, I could maybe help out on a Batman movie, too?
Look, I'm sure sure if I was right for something, he would come and talk to me about it. You know, I mean, Chris is not one for, you know, he's not one to do something just for the sake of it. You know what I mean? He'll cast you if you're right. You know, I mean, I just feel like if the time's right one day, it'll happen, you know, again. I feel obviously honoured to have done, you know, Memento with him, so yeah, you know, who knows?
No, totally. I obviously, I love that film as well. But listen, I've taken up far more than my allotted 15 minutes, and I will be respectful. I'll just say, man, thank you so much for giving me your time. You're great in King's Speech. You know I'm a big fan. Good luck with everything in the future.
Okay. No worries. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.